When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till three, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till three.
An Odyssey station.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, the 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or youtube.com/1080AM. Party on, party people. Y'all ride on YouTube. All right. We had a three other games in the college football playoff.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, over the weekend. Not just Ohio State beating the bejeebers out of Tennessee. I still can't get over that one. One that was expected. What did you think of the TNT games? Did you see the TNT games?
Yeah.
Any difference? Because I did.
The broadcast felt weird.
It's amazing how when you just flip channels, that game was produced by ESPN. It was with ESPN talent. Mm-hmm. It looked different.
It did. It's almost
so weird.
I would imagine it's different trucks, even if it is produced by ESPN.
Well, it's the satellites and the processing of the picture. I liked it.
But also the cameras are probably different. And again, it's probably
no. It was fully produced by ESPN though. The whole thing was produced
the trucks
by ESPN.
Too?
Yeah, it's all ESPN.
Okay,
the trucks are the same there's only we learned this with the Pac-12. There's only a certain amount of trucks.
Yes.
In the country. And sometimes you just get the low end of the stick.
Depending on the networks, yes, for sure.
But it looked different.
I don't know.
Maybe it's because it was cold.
It felt clunky.
Oh, really?
That's what I thought. It felt clunky.
It just was on TNT, which was weird.
Yeah.
Training yourself to find a new station to go to.
Look, free advertising. Shout out to YouTube TV. Mm. I don't even have to check because it builds the algorithm of what you watch. All I do is hit down arrow in the home screen. And it literally just populates sports for me. And it has it sorted in basketball, football. And it's like, since I got YouTube TV, I don't think I've used like the channel search.
Boy, that's great.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And
they rewarded you with a price hike.
Yeah, right. The other great thing though is that I had the multi-view going with college and NFL on the same time and on Saturday. And I was like, oh, this is...
We got to get to those games.
This is wonderful. Oh, yeah. Those games were great.
Yeah, they were. They were a lot better than Penn State absolutely...
It was not a game.
Disassembling.
Yeah. It was not
SMU. It was 28-0 at halftime, and that was when you had the Clay Travises of the world saying, Alabama would never... Be down 28-0. Penn State looks like they have found another gear. They look really good. We will see what happens when they play. Again, another top 10 type team, because SMU isn't that. Kevin Jennings had his worst nightmares play out. Two pick sixes at the beginning of that game. It was lights out. It was done at that point. And
that was the thing, is like, it wasn't like Penn State was good to start the game. They were not good.
This is where we had those conversations about ranking the quarterbacks, and everybody was saying, oh, Kevin Jennings at SMU. I was not entirely sold on him, and I just didn't see enough. But what I saw was a guy that is good. He's a lot like Curtis Rourke, right?
Yeah.
For Indiana. Limited, but really good. And if you can play ahead, you're going to be in a great situation. They spot a team 14 points, and Penn State just suffocated them. And all of the only 70,000 people, State College was packed. Beaver Stadium was packed to the gills. I was an awesome environment with the whiteout going on. That was really cool to see, to wake up in the morning and see that. It looked bitterly cold, and I think SMU probably should have just gone home when all their billionaire boosters had their planes rerouted. Did you see that?
No.
There were five planes with, I think it was five, with billionaire boosters on them from SMU. And because the municipal airport in State College was full, they had to be rerouted. And so they didn't get there until the second quarter of the game because they were rerouted and had to bus over.
Oh, no.
And there's like a picture of like all these highfalutin people and Craig James all getting hammered on a party bus. And by the time they got to the stadium, that game was over. Just turn around and go back home.
And I'm not going to downplay how much they beat SMU by, because it was not close. Penn State looked like trash in the first quarter and a half offensively. Like they looked awful. They could not do anything against an SMU team that was not nearly up to snuff.
Drew Aller wasn't great.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they looked trash.
I thought they looked for an SMU team to be able to handle them the way that they did.
Yep.
It was the pick six is completely just once they got those, it was a steamrolling after that.
I think with what was at play there, the elements were a big one in that game because it was blustery, it was cold, but the pick sixes are what absolutely crushed SMU.
Yeah.
You think of it, there's a reason why Penn State was continually going for it instead of kicking a field goal or punting away is because it was like that Wisconsin game where they didn't talk about it enough on the broadcast. Around. The wind plays a massive factor. And when Penn State goes for it on fourth down as much as they can, and then when they change directions and SMU starts going for it on fourth down, it wasn't just because SMU was down. It was because kicking the ball into the air is a non-starter for you at that point. So I think the elements played a big role. Drew Aller wasn't great, though. He wasn't great, and he will be what ends up biting Penn State as he has before. And not having Bo Prabula, it could play a major role in this team and how far they can get. But the path is pretty good for Penn State when you look at what is ahead of them, because you also had Notre Dame waxing Indiana on Friday night. We talked about that. And look, cookie cutter. Take SMU, put it on Indiana, because they get an interception off of Riley Leonard early in that game. And what does Curtis Rourke do? Boom. Goes right back to Notre Dame the other way.
And I really wanted to see them put the pressure on Notre Dame, because that's how you beat them.
Yeah.
That's how you beat them. Is you put the pressure on them because they're not a team that plays from behind.
No, Indiana is not a great team, but this is where I just think everybody's sitting there saying they didn't deserve to be there. They did. Because they
so did
took
SMU.
Care of the schedule that was in front of them. Both of those teams did. The best part of that game, though, was pregame when Shane Gillis, picker, called Nick Saban a cheater.
I don't know. This is, you know, it's always with Notre Dame. It's like, here's the big game. Let's hopefully win it. This feels different. It feels like we can win it. You know?
Okay.
There's some parity. Now that everybody can pay their players, Notre Dame has a shot. It's not just the SEC. It's not Coach Saban. Oh.
Now that everybody pays, it's more competitive. And he looked right at Saban and was like,
And then he also said, Coach Saban, him calling him Alabama Jones was, and oh my God, Nick Saban was seething mad.
Yes, he was. He even responded when Shane Gillis tried to apologize.
You called him a cheater earlier.
I was just joking around. I don't think the SEC paid players ever.
Period.
I'm joking. Are we not? Is this not a fun show?
No.
Serious show?
Serious football.
Okay, Alabama Jones is very serious.
No, I'm not serious.
Get the whip, Indy.
I do believe in integrity.
Yeah,
I always tried to run the program way so players had a better chance to be successful in life.
I agree.
We make more money in the NFL than any other school. 61 players in the league. That was how we cheated. We developed players.
we recruited. I'm so sorry.
Alabama Jones, just for those that don't get the reference, he had like an Indiana Jones hat on.
Yeah.
And calling him Alabama Jones, you could tell, like, it's just, I mean, already, again, Saban's, you know, Mr. Florida and Mr. Alabama. That's where he spends his time.
Nobody calls Nick Saban out like that.
No. And for Gillis to do it, you could see Saban was just stewing mad. I mean, he was livid. And it was like, it was great.
That was the best part of that game.
Are you kidding me? It was fantastic. With the line he had with Cignetti the day before, you know, the whole idea of like, you took a lot from me, but talking all that S isn't one of them.
No, that was same day.
Was it the same day?
That was same day. Yeah, God. That was all
that was just outside
on Friday
versus,
night.
That was outside versus inside of the different sets.
That was Nick Saban was
he was on one.
Very upset. But yeah. Shane Gillis, I've long said that NIL is great for the sport because it does level that playing field.
It's all out in the open.
All you need to do is watch that clip and say, yeah, you're right. If you deny that at any point, you're wrong because you could see Saban the seething because there was not a lie told in anything that Shane Gillis said.
Well, it cuts against his legacy. That's the problem.
Nick Saban was 100% right in that, no, what they did was they developed talent. 61 guys in the NFL, millions of dollars of contracts. Yeah, he did that.
Well, sure, that was all five-star talent, though.
And he was also bidding against other SEC schools. Now everybody else has a chance to bid on him, too. Boy, that was
fantastic.
It was electric.
Look, people have complained about McAfee being on that show. It is the best version of that show since they brought him in and have brought like more guest pickers in with a little bit more juice, a little bit more of an edge to them.
This may sound fuddy-duddy-ish. The dropping BS's and there's even been like F-bombs this year. That does need to stop on game day.
Yeah, because it's a wider audience. It's earlier in the day. It's on main ESPN, all those kind of things.
I love it.
Duh.
Yeah, but I mean, him and Saban, though.
Don't turn your nose up at that.
Him, I will.
Him and Saban, though, are a perfect, like, buddy cop pair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's natural. It's, like, it's the same thing for Lanning with the bussing boys. Like that's
know how to play the game.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's people are locked into that because as much as we want to try to like I'm not gonna use any like politically charged words, but as much as we try to like devalue the bro-y-ness of football, it's the bro-iest sport there is. Deal with it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we need to make it for everyone. It's like, nah, we don't.
No, it's not.
We don't need to make it for everyone. And the reason why I think you're seeing it come back is because it's leaning into football culture more again.
Yeah. There was a game that was really good, though, for the SEC, and it was Texas-Clemson.
Mm. Boy, did Texas look good.
Running the ball.
Oh, boy.
They looked really good running the football.
Oh, boy.
They ran it down Clemson's throat. But that number one defense in the country... I was more surprised with the ease that Clemson was moving the ball.
Mm.
Like Clemson moved the ball up and down the field.
Chunk plays.
Chunk plays. Yeah. Well, they gashed him with chunk plays, but Texas's defense is really good on third down. They were really good on third down. And that was like drives just stalling out. Like the yards are not points. Points are what win games.
Yeah.
Duh. But that was kind of the story of the game is as the field got shorter, Texas got better, And we saw that in the SEC championship game. I was surprised at 412 yards of total offense, though, for Clemson, because those were some crooked numbers that they were able to put up against that Texas defense that is really stinking good. But the Longhorns, they looked the part, and I think coming out of this weekend, it isn't a surprise to anybody, the four teams that won: Notre Dame, Texas, Penn State, Ohio State. Those are four teams that legitimately have a shot at a national title, right? I think if you're looking at it and you want to power rank them, Texas and Ohio State above Notre Dame and Penn State.
For sure.
But you look at the paths, you look at who the other teams need to are going to have to play to get to a national championship game. We're going to see one of those two teams there, Notre Dame or Penn State, because of the fact that one of them, you get Boise State for Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Notre Dame takes on a Georgia team that's on their backup quarterback that is still really stinking good. But
two teams without a quarterback.
You will have to play a run-heavy team with that Gunnar Strickland. God bless you, young man, but he didn't look like he had it, and then he got his brains beat off the turf in the SEC championship game. He'll be fine for New Year's Day, but I wouldn't be surprised if semifinals you have Notre Dame and Penn State.
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
And so one of them will play for a national title, and at that point you're going, all bets are off.
And that's because again, the seeding needs to be taken.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Texas has got Arizona State this in the Peach Bowl.
I'm excited for that game.
You have Oregon and Ohio State who are going to beat up on each other. Then they'll beat up on whoever the winner of that one is, mm-hmm. Texas and Arizona State. And so you're looking at, this is why those paths things and
matter.
The janky format, it does matter. There's going to be a lot of really good football and high-level football on one side, especially that Ohio State run where they'd have to go through Tennessee, Oregon, potentially Texas or Arizona State, and then you get to the national championship game and you're beat up by then? I don't know, man. There is a clear cutoff, though, in the teams that
for sure
can win national titles this year in college football. All right. Hey, let's get a little Blazer talk in on this Monday.
Oh, okay.
The Blazers lost. They knew the drill. They lost by 20.
Mm.
That Victor Wembanyama was pretty good.
Boy.
Really good. A stat that is incredible when you put into perspective how long he's been playing. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
When you feel like the only kid in town.
See, here you go. Aren't you in the spirit now, Will Ortner?
For Hanukkah, yes.
Here's a list of people who are Jewish.
Just like you and me.
Hanukkah starts December 25th.
James Conker, Douglas, and the late
this year.
Is it that far out this year?
Yeah.
Don't you think I know that?
December 25th to January 2nd. Deli,
Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli.
All right.
You ever celebrated Hanukkah?
No.
I have.
No. We've got the Blazers falling to the Spurs 114 to 94 on Saturday night. Let's respect the effort.
There was a lot that kind of went on in that game. Number one, the one positive I think you take from that is Shaedon Sharpe is deciding to do the thing that I've been begging for, which is being aggressive.
All right. Yeah.
Like, which is nice to see. But Victor Wembanyama is wholly different. And I saw a lot of people like, you can't lose that game. But I'm like,
yeah, you can.
Yes, you can. And here's why.
Why are people so upset over losses?
I don't know. And like, well, you know, they're not that good. Blah, blah, blah.
I get upset about the 40-point ones. But this one? Eh.
But here's the thing. He did something in this game with 30 points and 30-plus points and 10-plus blocks that has been done by five other players in NBA history.
Yeah, he, by the way, his stat line was 30 points, 7 rebounds, 10 blocks, 3 assists.
And he was 4 of 8 from 3.
What?
And this is the stuff that I talk about, like, in 5 years, we're probably talking about him as arguably the greatest player in the history of the game because of everything he can do. And it's not that he's, like, the best offensive player. He's a very good offensive player. He's going to be the best defensive player the league has ever seen. And it's not going to be close because this is not the only time he's going to have a 10-block game. I've talked to you off air about the idea of him having a quintuple-double. Mm-hmm. He's going to have one in his career. Yeah. He's going to. Like, it's just going to happen. It's insane, but it's going to happen.
You want to hear something crazy about Victor Wembanyama? This is the craziest stat about Wemby.
Is this the blocks and where he's at?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
He has played in 94 games in his NBA career. He already has more blocks than 91.1% of all players in NBA history.
Yeah.
He's only played in 94 games.
Yeah. That's what I mean. He's going to be the best defensive player we've ever seen.
That is bonkers.
And what you saw in this game, and I'll just like doing the math behind this, okay? When you get 10 blocks, that is 10 shots that have a 0% chance of going in. So even though you got a shot up, it never got to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When a singular player does that doesn't even account for all the other shots that he altered or all the other shots that you just went, hell no. I'm not going to, like, you can't watch that game and watch Ant, watch Shaden, watch Scoot, watch anybody, Denny, anybody attacking and not see the active hesitation. He blocked Jeremy Grant's three, and Jeremy laughed.
Well, like, what else can you
what
do?
What do I do?
When you got a guy like him, like, that's all you can do is just, like, go, better luck next
like
time.
Like, you're 6'9", Jeremy Grant, and you have an incredibly high release, and you have a no-dip three. Nobody's ever got out and blocked your shot like that. Nobody, ever. And so there's not even a frame of reference for somebody getting out there and bothering you, let alone just sending your stuff.
I hope he stays healthy.
Oh, so do I. But like, for this is, and here, Wemby could have and will do this to anyone in the league. This was not a, oh, Portland's not good situation. He does this regularly, where he's this impactful. If you're the Blazers, you just throw up your hands.
Yeah. Well, what do you?
If you're any team in the NBA, when he's doing this stuff, you just go, because the other side of this is he's 4 of 8 from three. So like he just bends the game in every freaking way, and you just don't know what to do with him.
Seems like he's going to be good for a long time.
God, one ping pong ball.
Man.
Well, one.
Out of a lot of ping pong balls, though. I mean,
it was down to them, San Antonio and Washington. If it had come up, he'd been a Blazer. Just kind of looking at this,
that's just cruel.
It is, but like so much of this comes down to luck. It's like nobody wants to admit it, but so much of this comes down to luck. It really does. And everyone's like, well, that's why you have to lose as many games as possible to get the most ping pong balls. Ask the Detroit Pistons about that. They've been in that position for 5 straight years, and for 5 straight years, they have fallen the furthest you can fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa.
It's tough.
We just got something from Dan Wolkin just retweeted Darren Heitner. NCAA Division I Board of Directors has granted a waiver to permit athletes who attended and competed in a non-NCAA school for one or more years to remain eligible and compete in 25-26 if those athletes should have otherwise used their final season of competition during the 24-25 academic calendar and meet all other eligibility requirements. Progress working towards a degree, 5-year period of eligibility. Whoa. So this is in response to Diego Pavia. But the five-year period, no. The NCAA Board of Directors has granted the waiver. They're going to appeal the ruling, but for next year, anybody that has played in a non-NCAA, and this is what we talked about on Friday, was this is JUCO, this is NAIA. You can have guys who can go and play, because here's the thing about NAIA, your clock doesn't start ticking because you're not an NCAA athlete.
And the sport where this might actually have the largest impact is baseball.
Yeah.
Because of the way the baseball draft is and whether you declare for to go play college or not. And they're talking about this might completely change everything about this. Because if you went and played anywhere other than D1, it technically wasn't college. So the draft would open right back up and you could be eligible right now for the draft.
Oof. Look at that.
It's crazy.
That's a big one from the NCAA because they said, oh boy, we're just going to get sued again.
Yeah.
Let's just get ahead of this.
Yeah. They're granting the waivers right now, knowing full well that they're going to lose. But I don't know why they're fighting it, why they're appealing it. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
The precedent's already been set. There's not been a single thing that they have fought against in the last decade that they have had, not even to come close to winning or to getting overturned, but just not getting humbled.
Yeah.
They have gotten throttled in these cases. Like it went from like, hey, we'll give you $1.8 billion in the lawsuit is going to go final in April. It's good.
No,
it's going to go up to four.
Yeah,
when it's all said and done.
Wow.
Like they're just getting crushed. It's like, why are you wasting this money? Like there's no. Again, I'll use it again. The Lord of the Rings, man. You have no power here. Just pack it up and retain the power that you have. Concentrate that power. Everything else, you're just going to lose. I don't know what happened with the judicial system, but there has been just a wild change in the current, and there isn't a judge in the country that's siding with them anymore.
No, well, in the big reason for the changing of the tides is NIL. Guys are getting paid, and you cannot restrict people from their ability to earn money. Right, America.
All right, coming up next, time for our worst day on the web. And we've talked about some military secrets and how they get out and about. This is, I want to say this is maybe the dozenth time that this has happened. National secrets are leaking on video games. We'll get to that more coming up on the Worst Day on the Web. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center Update.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
This is a crazy thing that happens. And then this isn't the first, the second, the third, the fourth, fifth. The number of times this has happened is absolutely crazy. So there's a video game out there called War Thunder. It's on PC and consoles. And it is a somewhat real-to-life military simulator. And they use some as close to real-to-life statistics and data.
Okay.
To kind of inform the game. So, like, if you're flying an F-15...
War Thunder.
Yeah, right. If you're flying an F-15 in the game, like, it can only carry certain armaments, certain GBUs, guided bomb units, certain air-to-air missiles. Like, it's true to life, and it has, like, a true-to-life range, and the handling and mobility and speed, like, all those things are kind of, like, they try to keep them true to life, right? Well, a lot of this stuff comes from the publicly available Jane's Defense Systems records, which... They tell you and they give you some stuff, but I've seen the actual data. It's not the same. For those that are unaware, there's the classified and there's the unclassified version. The classified version has the actual ranges and effective systems, all those kind of things. They're leaking out into the video game via forums and Discord.
Oh, so people that are playing the video games are like, I want this to be even more real. I'm going to leak out the classified information.
Yes, this is the European Union, the Eurofighter, the Typhoon, their radar system. So it tells you like how effective, max effective ranges, cross sections, all those kind of things.
This rocks.
Yes. this one, it's the it revolves around the scanning capability of the captor radar, led to our user posting restricted material in attempt to prove their argument. So basically, these guys get in a forum and go, well, actually, and push their glasses up on their forehead. And a lot of times they're either active duty military or defense department personnel or prior service. Like, I can't remember to take out my trash. I can tell you the max effective ranges of every surface-to-air missile system on this planet and how to defeat them.
What was the final downfall of the great U.S. Empire? Yeah. Well, there were these nerds who got on this video game called Thunder War.
Thunder War.
War Thunder.
And they gave out all their secrets.
Yep. So,
this is what happened to Rome?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happened. It was War Thunder that did it.
War Lightning?
Mm-hmm.
So this is in one of the forums. I will take this opportunity again to remind everyone here, please do not, under any circumstances, try to post, share any sources unless you are 100% certain they are legally declassified and publicly safe for use. We will never handle or use them, and all it does is actively harm any possible future changes being possible by trying to use them. Do not do it. No good will ever come from it for you or the vehicle you are trying to post for.
Please don't leak national security information. Again, how many times do we need to tell you? Come on. What are we doing here?
And again, there are also, it's not just in the U.S. These are people like in Italy and in England.
Stealth Bomber 69, you've been banned.
Yeah. Quit trying to leak the radar cross-section of a B-2. Which is kind of funny because, like, the thing about that is, this 100%, I know, but it has, like, the radar cross-section of a bumblebee.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it looks like on a radar.
Sweet.
That's why we spend $2 billion on each one of them. Like, it's very cool stuff. But, like, how it works and why it works, not for War Thunder.
I cannot wait for the congressional hearing on this. Like, Patriot Missile 420, is this you? Yes, sir. That is me.
Like this is the article goes on to further state. And again, this article is coming out of the UK Defense Journal.
Of course.
Like, this is not just like some like the Washington, you know, like the New York Post. Like this is a real problem.
Golly.
This is not the first time this has happened for European platforms. It's happened with the Challenger 2 tank, and I remember that one. I believe that was the first one when they leaked the armor system, like what makes the armor effective, the armor plating so effective.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, guys, let's not put that out there. We don't you don't need to leak out like the weak points of the armor system of the tank that your soldiers are driving.
Just talking with my homies, like. Nobody's going to know this.
What you don't realize here, Danny, though, is that other guy was saying that it wasn't as strong as it was. That's why they had to leak it.
Yeah. Oh, no. And it's funny. It's
like, dude, you made it way too strong.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, you're saying
that. Why'd they nerf it?
Yeah. You're saying that, but that's like literally how the argument went. Like, I want my tank to be stronger. I want my helicopter to be more lethal. Or, you know, some, you know, bunker-busting bomb. It's like, should have a higher impact threshold, or it's like the guided bomb unit that has, you know, bomblets is like, you know, there's actually 46 bomblets in there and not 36. It's like, guys,
I counted and you're wrong.
It's like, and you get somebody who's like, well, I work as an ammo loader for the F-16 and I know exactly. It's like, yeah, and you also have a security clearance, so do yourself a favor and shut up, dude.
I love that trolls are going to be the reason why we lose, like, the next war.
Yeah.
Like, right, like...
Internet troll.
You don't need a honeypot anymore. You just go poke the nerds. Like, you don't even have to use a hot woman anymore to get sensitive data.
The next great war strategy is catfishing on War Thunder Forum.
Just absolutely insane.
Well, and you know what is crazy, though, is, like, you hear so many of like the espionage stories, and this kind of dumb stuff, and actually even dumber stuff, has been what has been turning points in wars before. Like, dude's just trying to get some, and oop, got some information, war turned.
See, but they're not even trying to get some anymore. They're just trying to win their stupid video game.
They want their main tank to be better.
Will, I don't need to remind you of this. It's 2024. That's the same as getting some these days.
You're not wrong.
You guys play different video games than I do. It's not a feature on the games I play.
See, that's why I don't play video games. Is I don't want to give up any national security secrets. You know?
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That why it is? Not because you're washed?
Well, I don't have any national security secrets.
No, I'm talking about video games.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't know where to start with War Thunder.
My other co-host on TV, right, Joe Simons, I gave him the sticks to play a video game, I want to say probably 3 or 4 years ago. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, Dusty.
Well, like, you get out of the game.
I mean, my man couldn't, like, I don't even think he was keeping up with the Nintendo 64 anymore.
Mm, That's tough.
Yeah, like that was like the two directional sticks.
Yeah,
cooked him. It was like he could only move one at a time.
Yeah, some people don't have it.
It was like, oh no.
There's still one video game that everyone can play. It's Mario Kart on Wii.
Mario Kart.
Everyone can play Mario Kart on Wii. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, you can figure it out.
I feel
quickly.
Like
the dual sticks is a problem, man. I'm telling you.
I feel like it's fine. Like, you just stop playing video games at some point. That's okay.
I'm just not going to let go.
It keeps me young.
It doesn't keep me young. It probably ages me with the frustration that I get at some points. But every now and then, I get to humble the 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
You have one of those one of those games.
Yeah.
It's kind of like throwing that football over that there mountain.
Yeah. Still got it.
It's like B-Roy in the playoffs versus the Mavs.
Yeah, no, you still got one left in you.
Yeah.
It's tough, man, because these 15-year-olds are little hopped up ADHD Ritalin using caffeine junkies, and they're like, you know,
yeah, at that age they don't even need all that stuff. They just that's how they live.
Oh, they're twitchy, man.
Yeah,
you want to talk about quick twitch athletes in professional sports? These quick twitch freaking psychopaths with the controllers, just it's hard, man.
I feel like I'm totally okay with being washed on the video games.
It's tough out here. It's a humbling experience.
No Thunder War for you?
Thunder War?
No. No, none of that. I don't even know the last time I played a video game.
Your kid hasn't made you get on the sticks yet?
He doesn't have sticks to get on.
Mm.
Oh.
They go outside.
Yeah.
To their friend's house where they have sticks they can get on?
Uncle Danny's going to sneak over.
He does that sometimes.
A video game console one of these days. Just going to appear over there.
Well, that'll be sent right back home.
Give you one of the old ones to catch back up on. All right, coming up next, I want to have this discussion because after what happened this weekend and what bad teams in the NFL are doing right now, is tanking becoming a thing? Hmm? Should it become a thing? Mm. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Let's go.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under.
Look, this segment's gonna come with some bias. I'll be blunt about that right up front. The Raiders should not be winning games. They should not be winning games. And it's a very simple thing. You are a quarterback desperate franchise, and you had an opportunity to possibly land the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I don't think that quarterback is there this year.
I don't either.
I mean, I really don't. But they beat the Jags.
Why?
Well, because you can't. It's a sport where you can't really tank.
You can. You can. It's the same way that the NBA teams tank. You put guys out there that aren't out there.
Haven't the Raiders already tried that?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, the Jaguars did.
Have you seen their roster? Well, the big thing with the Jaguars is that they don't have a quarterback.
No, neither do the Raiders.
Yeah, and I mean, they had to roll out Mac Jones, and Mac Jones actually played okay, but that is just a... Did you know the Jags, they right now are 3-12? Do you know how many one-score losses they have this year?
I would imagine a ton.
Nine.
Yeah.
Nine one-score losses.
They're the opposite. I'm not saying they are that team. I'm just, they are the opposite of the Chiefs.
They also have been beat 52-6.
Yes. That was 40, the London game, right?
47-10. No, that was against the Lions. Remember in Detroit?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, Detroit just absolutely pumped them. I think you're right. They did lose to, was it Buffalo? But was Buffalo in London?
They got smacked over there. I want to say it was 47-10. Yeah.
No, that was in Buffalo. Yeah, I don't know, but they suck. But they also lose very close games, so they're really not that far away, right? That's what they will lead you to believe. Tanking is just really tough in the NFL because you can have a lame duck coach and they lose a locker room, But we see that with talented rosters, too, where if you have a langued up coach and nobody believes in him and they have no faith in him, there's good teams that lose games, right? And you can't just roll the ball out and be like, all right, guys, here we go, because that's how your franchise, and in the NFL, it's different than the NBA. Guys won't go to a franchise if you intentionally lose games. They won't. They'll just be like, bad organization, not going to go, and I'm not going to play there anymore. It takes a really, 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 really good GM and head coach to turn that around and to get guys to come to your franchise. Like, look how long it took Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, even look at Chicago right now. Like, it's a tough thing to do to get guys to buy in, because a franchise gets that losing stink, and it is hard to shake, and it's hard to buck.
I mean,
Cleveland, Cincinnati.
I mean, your team.
Yeah.
Your team was the worst team in sports for 40 years.
Mm.
Yeah, the Patriots were the worst team in sports.
Mm.
They had it, if I remember right, they had under 35% winning percentage as a franchise.
Yeah. They went to the Super Bowl in 85, though. Got beat.
But it was a monumental swing over time.
Yeah. I mean, it was. And it takes so much to get that functionality back to an organization. That's why teams just don't do it. You have teams that,
but again, what,
we'll say we are a quarterback away.
What pick was Bledsoe?
He was number one overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what got him back. I mean, yes, Brady being, but what got them back on track was that.
And I don't think that, but the Shedeur Sanders isn't that.
I don't either, but
I don't think any of these quarterbacks are that.
Would you rather have the opportunity, though? Let's put it this way. If the Raiders had lost that game, they'd be tied with the Giants for the worst record in the league.
Yeah.
Okay. And you finish out the season, it's the great suck off of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You put yourself in a position. What if there is a team that does what the Panthers did? And they want to trade up for that pick because they do think Shedeur is that. Don't you think it's a better place to be than it is to be fifth, sixth, seventh?
Yes,
it is. It's monumentally different. Ask the Texans.
But there's also organizations that, you know, they won't get it right.
You're 100% right.
And the Raiders are in that right
now.
Oh,
God, yes.
But I just don't think that you're going to get guys and deal with the great text on the Vancouver Ford text line. NFL players still want to get paid. NBA players already got paid. And like that is, there's a big element to that in that the lifespan in the NFL is so short that you're not going to get guys that are like the Blazers are a good example of this, right? You got veterans like DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant. They understand what is happening here. And they're okay with that because they have financial security.
Guaranteed money.
They're going to be all right. In the NFL, there's no guarantees. No. So those guys aren't just going to roll over and take a loss. And when you ask a guy to do that and their livelihood is at stake, that's where the franchises, you lose all credibility in that. And look,
They shut Max Crosby down.
You win. They're trying to do it. Yeah. Like they went into the season knowing they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And you get guys that, all right, hey, the guys with financial security, like a Max Crosby, hey, we're going to shut you down. That obviously takes a hit to your ability to win football games. You trade Devontae Adams away, right? That's going to hurt your chances to win football games. But when you roll the ball out there, the idea and what a lot of social media is saying is like, how in the world is Antonio Pierce letting this happen and winning the game? That is not.
It's the same. No. And I'll never be about that.
And so many
coach, you can't coach to lose. That's never a thing.
So many teams are doing it, though.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Jags are doing it.
Like, yeah.
They're 100%.
Yeah.
The Giants are doing it. The Patriots are doing it.
Yeah. It's just you will never hear it said in the NFL like you do in the NBA.
No. Well, I'm not going to say no, because I don't think 5 years ago you would see teams doing what we're seeing right now. I think that it's inching its way towards.
Hell, we saw the Colts do it. We saw the Colts do it for Andrew Luck.
Yes.
And again,
that was such but everyone knew,
and that's
what he was going to
do. You're not
going
to see it this year because there isn't that guy.
No.
Like, you're seeing teams like New England yesterday, right? They got Drake May. They got their guy of the future. By the way, all of these rookie quarterbacks, Michael Penix looked good.
Turns out this class really, really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. They lose to the Buffalo Bills. It's like, dude, money. Perfect. You lost another
game. Experience. You looked better.
You're looking sometimes competent and competitive. Like, okay, well, they'll take that. And that's the NFL's way of tanking, even though I think Gerard Mayo probably would have gotten fired if they would have got blasted by Buffalo. But what you are going to be seeing is it will take one of those truly transcendent players to ever see a team tank again. And we don't have him this year. We just don't have that guy. In fact, the top of the draft as a whole is not nearly as good as last year's draft class.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nowhere close. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right, coming up next in hour number three, we will pivot to the NFL. And you know what? We're going to pivot to one of those rookie quarterbacks. The Commanders and the Eagles played a hell of a game, and Jaden Daniels had his third game-winning drive of his career in his rookie season. There's a lot to kind of pull out of this game. The big one, I think, is going to be, can the Commanders cause some problems in the playoffs? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.